This podcast is from a program which originally aired in 2004.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is pianist and singer Patti Wicks. She has a way with a song that leaves you spellbound, and her taste for piano playing is in complete harmony. The end result is a gentle, glowing performance. How are you, Patti?
I'm good. I'm delighted to be here. It's an honor.
We have a lot of catching up to do. I'm trying to think, when did I first meet you? It's a long time ago.
Yes.
Where?
1977. It was in the spring, and you were doing a solo at Bemelman's in the Carlisle.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and it was wonderful. And my friend Muriel Montague was doing an article on you, and she invited me to be your guest, and I was delighted, and I remember in particular your gorgeous performance of Windows. That's such a lovely Chick Corea tune, and I was just so impressed, and I can still remember how beautifully it sounded.
Oh, thank you. I still play that tune. I love to play it.
Oh, I do too.
Well, now, it's ages since I've seen you. I can't remember when. When was the last time, you think?
Well, it was 1998. I came to a concert that you did with Dick Hyman and Ruth Laredo at a theater in Palm Beach, where I live now. And I moved down there. I used to play in jazz clubs, and I met my present husband. And so I'm now a wife and a stepmama, but I'm not a wicked stepmother.
Oh, I wouldn't imagine you are. It's sort of a kick to know what's going on in your life. And of course, most of all, I'm dying to hear you play and sing. So we can arrange that, can't we?
Oh, I know. I'd be delighted. I wouldn't interfere in the arrangement at all.
What would you like to open with?
Well, one of my favorites, and I think you like this song too, is the Benny Golson Whisper Not.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
Can't wait to hear you do it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Boy, that was really good. I love it when you interpolate some other tunes. You stuck in a little piece by, I think, Randy Weston.
I did. High Fly.
High Fly. Yeah, I heard that.
Oh,
I love it when people do that. You had a couple of other ones, but they're just a note here and there. But it's a very nice arrangement. Did you just? I mean, you didn't have that arranged. You just did it.
Yeah. Yes, I always kind of take chances. But there are certain things, some vocals, especially if you're working in a trio setting with a bassist, it's kind of kind to give them an idea of what's going on.
It is kind of kind.
But when you get used to
playing. I do the same thing. I start off in any key. I don't tell them the key. A lot of times I don't tell them a tune even, just start playing.
I do too, and I'll start, you get really excited about something you want to play. And I jump in and all of a sudden I go, oh my gosh, I didn't tell them the tune or the key.
But meanwhile they're playing.
Yes.
Well, now, I was going to ask you about your record. Have you got a sort of a theme to that? Because I noticed, is it called Love Locked Out?
Love Locked Out, yes.
Is
Max Jazz.
It seems to me there's a theme of unrequited love or something in that record, because they're all ballads. Did you mean it to be that kind of a record?
Yes, I did. I did. The concept, rather than doing just a regular mix of a couple of ballads and an up-tempo, and then I wanted to have a theme, and my producer and friend Joel E. Siegel was in agreement with that, and also my friend Mort Figgert, who had...
Mort Figgert, oh, Mort, that
yes.
character.
He's still there,
isn't he?
He certainly is, and he's one of the people that knows where I live musically, and he was always on the lookout for songs that he thought might be something that I would like. And he is the one that acquainted me with Would You Believe and the Duncan Lamont songs on that album, Where Were You in April and I Told You So. And
yeah, those are good songs.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And so over the years, and he would say, I have a couple of tunes I think you might like. And so I love them. And then we had talked, and Joel and I, about having the theme and having Yes, It Is Sad. And doing a ballad album is risky, but we all believed in the project and thought that the songs were great. And Joel had given me the second set of lyrics and the verse to Body and Soul.
Oh.
Because he loved it. He said, why don't you do Body and Soul? But instead of doing The Ordinary, he said, why don't you do the other set of lyrics and the verse, because nobody does it.
Oh, I'm dying to hear that. It's why don't
great.
You do that?
All right.
Can you do it?
I'll try.
All right. Okay. Good.
Life's dreary for me. Days seem to be long as years. I reach for the sun, but I find none through my tears. The heavens opened and closed as well, I might have supposed. And I am left in this abandon, so far removed from everything I planned on. My days have grown so lonely. For I have lost my one and only. My pride has been humbled, but still I'm yours, body and soul. I was a mere sensation. My house of cards had no foundation. And though it has tumbled, still I am yours, body and soul.
That was beautiful, Patty.
Thank you.
I guess with different people, you have a different method, but I don't know how you put together your accompaniment for yourself, because you played some really interesting chord changes.
It was
really nice. I mean, do they just happen, or do you work a few of those out ahead of time?
No, actually, I don't. I just...
You just do them.
Just do them. And
that's great.
It's kind of an adventure sometimes, because especially when you're singing,
great.
And all of a sudden I'll go there and I'll go, okay, now, all righty, we got to take a little bit of a left turn there. But it's a challenge, and when I feel very comfortable, and especially doing a solo, it's a lot easier to do that, again, because I don't want to take my poor bass player on a trip where he doesn't know the directions. So you have much more freedom playing solo and singing, and then you can take chances and see what happens. But I like to do that, because I find if it's too set, then it's very easy to have it become very uninspired, and it's very hard to draw on that, especially when you're interpreting a lyric.
You're
and
right,
I find,
you know.
Yeah, it gets hackneyed, you know, and you feel like you can phone
it
in.
If you can do it that way, then more power to you. I mean, I know there are some people that sort of have every chord arranged that they're going to play when they're singing.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
The way you're doing it, it's so much more natural.
Thank you.
Very nice. You know, I think it's time you and I have a go at a duet.
I love it.
Let's do a straight ahead duet. What could we do? Some pretty tune that we both know, like How About Emily?
That's wonderful.
Is
I
that
love
a good
Johnny
tune?
Mandel tunes, and that's a
Johnny
beauty.
Mandel.
Beauty.
Had some nice chord changes, which I tried not to fall over.
Oh, you did beautifully. I
was
enjoying listening to you,
too. I love it in that key.
Too.
I never played it before in that key, and it's so much nicer than... Sorry. It's really fun, especially sometimes people seem sort of surprised that two people can sit down and start playing together who never did.
Yes.
But... you know, Patty, I would really love to hear you sing another song from your album.
Well, thank you.
What would you like to do?
Well, I think I'm going to do An Empty Glass, which is a lovely song by Louis Bonfa. It's quite sad, and Dick Manning wrote the lyric. It's quite a bitter song, so this will be for all the husbands who left the cover off the toothpaste.
Well, I'm dying to hear it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Close the door and pour the wine. Fill your glass, but don't fill mine. Here's to you now for the last time. Here's to me, your sometime pastime. Here's to love, an empty glass. Feeling low, but it'll pass.
Boy, that is a sad song.
Yes, it is. It's very bitter. There's no second chance on that thing. You're out. It's gone.
Well, it really is a beautiful song.
Yes, it is. It is. It is gorgeous.
And I guess for people that are feeling bitter, they could get some of it out by just listening to that.
Yes, exactly. That was really part of the idea of this album, was the common connection that we all have to love and be loved. And we all suffer loss. We all have joy of new love, and we feel sad when we lose it. And I think today, much computers are wonderful, and the way our society moves so quickly, we're so much cubicle living, and there's not that much interaction with people as there used to be. Conversations have been replaced with emails or little phone palm pilots, you know, and so that connection. And I think people like to know that, I know just how she feels. I've been there. That happened to me too. And so that's what I really want to do with my music, you know.
That's very true.
I need that contact with another human being.
Me too, honey.
You know, it's very important.
Meanwhile, we need contact with the 88 keys, don't we?
Oh, lovely.
What should we wind up with? A good old Harold Arlen tune, maybe. What do you think?
That sounds good. Well, how about This Time the Dream's on Me?
That's a great tune.
That's a lovely tune. And I've just had such a marvelous time. I love your music, and I think you're a remarkable woman, and I'm so honored. I do.
Oh,
I'm so delighted to be here. So this time, the dream's on me because it came true. It's
all
a
right.
Great song.
That's good. That's
wonderful.
Good.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.